Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hello, you.
Hello, I'm Greg the Hammer Valentine.
And I'm not him, but one day I hope to grow into him.
I was thinking it would be quite nice to have a range of knockoff wrestlers, because they can't touch you for that, can
no,
they?
No, they really can't. No.
I was thinking of Brutros Beefcake.
Jimmy the Hurt Locker. Mouth of the South.
Grog the Bammer. Grog Jamantine.
Grog the Bammer Jamantine.
These are just a few of the ideas we've had for t-shirts, and as you can tell, they are absolutely the nuts. Well, don't just let these remain a dream, because now you can buy things we've literally made.
Yes, Grog the Hummer Bonkle. What's awful teen? Bonkle teen? I don't know. We've got some fucking t-shirts, right? And you need to buy them. Because I've bought a couple, and it can't just be me every time.
It can't.
It can't. It really can't.
It really can't. The important thing to remember from this absolute mess is that you can get brand new Wrestle Me merch.
There Unstained.
Are four new t-shirt designs.
Four new t-shirts.
And they are knocking it out of the park.
They are knocking it out of the park. We've got Pork and Beans. We've got a Wrestle Me one. We've got Wrestle Me Ica Pro.
Alfred Hayes in space.
Alfred Hayes in space. And we got a She's Been Daughter. It's all up there. Go and download them with the world.
Buy them. You don't download them.
Download them into your mailbox.
Yes.
Using the whatever postal system you have where you live.
That is it.
That works. Stackmerch.com. STAKmerch.com. STAKmerch.com. Woo! And we've got a little bit. The only ones that are up there are Wrestle Me Pod ones, so.
I think
enjoy.
We're probably going to have a Boutros Beefcake. That will be up within the week. Is this advert professional enough? Yes, it is for Wrestle Me.
Bye bye. Enjoy the show, mate.
Tommy Peter!
Wrestle Me More!
Hey, how you doing?
I'm good. It's late at night. It's so intimate.
Hey, it's like two guys just getting together and just the smoke, if you can picture that.
It's your vape. And it's very dark outside. And I feel like it's a little bit like Nightcaller.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. We never sort of really work at this time of the evening.
Tonight, we're getting deep to the meat.
Deep to the meat.
We're going to be really...
We're getting deep to the meat.
We're going to be talking about chicks. Help on makes them tick.
Then we're going to have one shot of strong whiskey and go to Rio's in Kentish Town and just...
Well, you mentioned the whiskey, Peter. I've got a bottle of whiskey with me here today.
Have you now, Mark?
Now, the reason for this is I've woken up today. I feel absolutely terrible.
Right,
I felt terrible all day and I thought Kilokia.
Yes.
And I weirdly had a hankering for some whiskey.
Wow.
That's not a good sign, is it?
Look, I think you're out of the danger years. I think barreling towards having a hankering for whiskey in your mid-40s is absolutely fine.
I thought to myself, I think it will kill whatever's inside, but it's making me feel a bit under the weather.
Yes.
It feels like that is medicine.
It is, it's strong and it will work,
but
I think.
Also, because this is Wrestle Me After Hours,
yes,
it feels like this is the sort of thing. Now, the one thing that you can tie this in with wrestling is Stone Cold Steve Austin on the Broken Skull Sessions.
Yes.
When he interviews other wrestlers, it will always start, so he kind of goes, so you're the Undertaker, okay? and he'll sort of go,
hello, I can't, how does he do the Undertaker for me?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
I'm not very charismatic in real life.
But, and then if I was charismatic in my real life, it would be, that might be offensive.
Welcome to Broken Skull Sessions. I'm Stone Cold Steve Austin. He does that. And yeah. Then he'll go, joining me today. He's a Hall of Famer. He's one bad MF-er. He'll do that. And he'll kind of go, yeah. Now, before we start, he'll go, bop. He goes,
I do. Oh, like yes.
He'll go like that. And he'll go,
lovely.
Get you a little something just to keep a chicken over, like that. Now, you've driven. Do you want any?
Yeah, exactly. Give me, like, imagine what would fill a contact lens. That's it. There we go.
Just the fumes and the vibe.
In the same way that you try to link it back to wrestling, yep. A lot of them do drink drive.
What happens is when Stone Cold brings out the whiskey, they always, they don't act like they sort of go, oh, okay, like that. Every single one of them, like Jericho did exactly the same thing. He gets the whiskey out. He goes, you know, he's a Hall of Fame. He's one of the best of all time. My friend Chris Jericho. And he goes, pop, like that. And every time, like these grown men in their 50s now, when it comes out, they always go, ooh.
Like they've never seen a bottle of booze before in their long industry. Oh,
well, I don't know if I should, but I mean, if you're going to. And they sit there, and what happens is they
aren't
immediately...
Aren't we naughty?
They immediately knock a bit back, so they'll sort of go, cheer, here's to you, here's to you. Mm. And they go, here's to you, Steve. Like that, and they go... And there's a pause, and I'll sort of go, that's some really good whiskey there.
It's a high risk game, it's a high stakes game because Steve Austin basically knows for a fact that no wrestler is a recovering alcoholic. Yes. None of them will say no to it, even if they are recovering alcoholics.
And they, because they're Americans as well, they're immediately drunk. So it's sort of like they go, oh, that's some good whiskey.
I've wet myself.
Vince McMahon's always been like a father to me. They go straight into that. When I was growing up, I felt very lonely. It's, oh my God, what are we doing? And I noticed,
keep a bit back.
I noticed as well, he doesn't do it with the female performers.
Oh,
he
right,
doesn't go, Bailey, here you go. Here's some, I'm probably wrong about that. Probably
Bailey, here's a Bailey.
Yeah, exactly. The ladies drink.
Just give them all Malibu. You are disgusting, Stone Cold Steve Austin. Here's, disgusting.
Here's a pot of cream and I put a little shot of red wine in it.
Oh. It's your new drink I'm making. The marketing wonks, they say it won't work.
But if you look at all the stuff that I put my name to, I'll put my name to this shit too. Well, look, I mean, the other reason that we're drinking is what a celebration this is. Mm. This is the halfway point of the last WrestleMania, Pete.
Yes.
We are rushing
careering.
Towards the end.
Like twisted metal of a crash barrier on a motorway.
It's exciting.
Choose
isn't it?
Any I'm going to choose on the way home.
It's exciting, the idea of a post Wrestle Me world.
Yes.
I mean, that you get for free.
It's going to be very much like Will Smith and his dog. Charred earth all over the place.
What's him that?
I am Legend or Legend.
Oh, yeah, that? Okay. Right. So a strange, not one I immediately think about as a Will Smith film. It's like, right, what's that one?
It was a really weird Fresh Prince of Bel-Air episode. Uncle Phil threw him out.
That is true. So did you enjoy the second part of Night 1 of WrestleMania 37?
We did it in two chunks.
Mm.
Your beautiful baby daughter had conjunctivitis.
She did, yes.
So I watched half of it. All I can remember from... I've got it written down, so don't worry.
Yeah.
But all I can remember from the end of night one of WrestleMania 37 was that Cesaro's new titles are a bit like The Matrix.
Yes, aren't
they? Before The Matrix got reloaded for 2022 or whenever it's going to come out, I thought, that looks old. That
it did. It really did. Although one of the more effective ones of their AI.
Yes.
Where you go, that looks good, but it's dated.
I've got a lot to say about the AI. It just seems to somehow get worse and worse.
Doesn't it?
Some of the work with The Fiend in particular is astonishingly awful. Just terrible.
Wow. Well, look, obviously, because we watched this a few times and we cancelled one of our recordings, I've watched Omos more than any other man on earth. I think I've seen that match four or five times now.
Oh, because it's good. And he's good.
It is good. We're on, I think it's match three of an event. I had a quick look as well on Amazon because my network was playing up a bit. And I was like, do I have to get the DVD of this? And I had a quick look, and there was one review that I liked. It was from Piotr, on Amazon. He said about WrestleMania 37, it is a really wonderful, superb, the bee's nest.
Nobody wants that in their life.
Action-packed, no messing about.
If you want to remove it, you have to get men with carrier bag and smoke machine. Hoover.
It is the bee's nest. Do you mean the bee's knees or the business? You make up your own mind, my friend.
That's a good point. That's a lovely kind of like maybe... English is his second language, and he's gone for, he thinks it's bee's nest. That is adorable.
Because there's something adorable about someone going, I've learnt the phrase the bee's knees.
The bee's knees.
If you were not an English speaker, and you go, what do you call something good? You go, it's the bee's knees.
It's the bee's knees, yeah.
Like the knees of a bee.
It's so small.
Why does that mean good? What is good about a bee's knee?
I would actually quite like that explained, Mark, to be honest, because I don't know why.
If I went to a restaurant and they said, we have a plate of bee's knees, right. Oh, God, definitely I'm having that.
Is it because their whole fucking gaff is just honey?
Yeah.
And they're up to their knees in it? So maybe like the honey
is the sweetest part of the bee. Like marinated in honey, like some kind of Greek delicacy.
Oh, lovely.
Oh, you little bees.
Yes, please, give me some bees.
Your knees. I want to
get some bees.
We get a little vaccine ad as
yes,
well.
Yes,
quite a few of those through here. You'd have thought they'd have edited them out.
Yes.
Because they don't like vaccines.
Because, well, it just seems like... It seems like completely going against what a lot of the viewers might think.
Yeah, isn't it?
Because we all have this very small-minded view, or I certainly do, of a certain subsection of the WWE viewership.
Yep, and some of the talent.
Some of the talent are people who may very well have, right-wing views or kind of anti-vaxxer views. Not as much as you'd think, obviously.
Yeah,
and I'm saying 5%.
I know it was like overdone on social media and stuff, but there was a big thing when it first started. They were like, oh, Rey Mysterio, he's been ahead of the curve. Look at him wearing his mask. Stuff like that. And I was slightly like, it just feels like now the passage of time has gone, I feel like people are going to forget that that was a thing.
Yes.
And I wanted it to be in this ad just to sort of lock it down so that in 10 years people go, so I was watching it back, remember the pandemic? And it makes you think that like Rey Mysterio must have. And you'd be like, no, we did that at the time.
No, we did that. Yeah. Yeah.
It was done to death.
People are going to redo those jokes, aren't they?
They are.
We could pass them down, like we bequeath them to our children.
It's, I like those moments that say, it in a proper time. I know I've said I'm surprised they didn't cut them out.
Yeah,
I do like that, and it will seem funny in 5 years' time. It will seem like people talking about Ebola. If you're going to fly to somewhere far away, do make sure you're inoculated for Ebola. We've all got to do our part. Why is that there?
Or what if a bee's knee brushes up against you, and it's like one of those killer bees from the continent?
Yeah, if it's not sweet. It's not a treat. That's the official government advice.
Point at the camera. If it's not sweet, it's not a treat.
It's not a treat.
.org.
And your immune system will be beat. it's a serious...
This campaign really is the bee's knees.
Do you mean business? The match that you were just talking about, the third match, Rollins versus Cesaro.
I forgot where we were, to be honest. Have we seen this? We have, haven't we?
I was really excited about this match at the time, because it felt like they were going to finally do something with Cesaro.
Yeah.
And they do.
Oh, right, okay. I thought this was very much fan service.
Yeah.
You've had your one.
Yeah.
Let's get back to...
I think there's a certain amount of that. I think what they've got here is they've got Seth Rollins is a big enough established star that it doesn't matter if Cesaro gets to beat him, even if it's at WrestleMania.
Mm.
Because what they've said, they know full well, Seth Rollins has as many WrestleManias as he wants. Cesaro, maybe a few more. hard to tell. So why not give him a little sort of like, well, you've done your service.
Yes.
Here's your gold watch of a match.
Here's the new graphic design we've selected for you, and it looks like half the Matrix and half... Do you remember there was an MP3 player in the 90s called Winamp?
Oh, I do,
and you could get different skins for it.
That's right.
And they're always really badly photoshopped, using as many layers and as many drop shadows as you possibly can. It's like that.
It is.
A little bit like that.
I quite like it, because it's sort of the sort of thing I imagined, like, if you went to Switzerland... That would be like when you put your card in a cash machine.
That would come up.
And
it would look,
sort of,
yeah. It's like when you're trying to get a crack off the internet for Photoshop.
Yes.
It's one of those weird, it's got like a real blobby interface.
Yeah.
You're like, well, I don't need this.
And you'd look at it and you'd
give me
go,
the N4.
What is this? And it would say copyright 1984. And you'd go, wow, that must have been really like cutting edge at the time. And they've kept it. It's stylish.
It's stylish. Endlessly stylish.
Seth Rollins here. This is the start of, the worst run for me of Seth Rollins' career, where he is just unsure what he is. Is he all about the drip? Is he an arrogant heel? Is he the face of the company? Is he a messiah figure like David Koresh?
Stab Best back on.
I know.
Sorry, Stab Best back on.
He comes out saying, embrace the vision, it says behind him. I still go, are you in marketing? Are you a fucking wall at Capital Radio when they briefly brought in inspirational things that they thought would make people work harder?
They did.
Not realising it was tied to pay. I detest this period where it just seems like someone who is such a big star, they just don't think anything's going to hurt him, so it doesn't matter if this is a bad sort of run. And there are bits where he's talking in the ring to Cesaro.
Yeah.
And it's like bad dialogue from a wrestling comic book from the 90s, where at one point he says, I survived the neutralizer. Neutralizer is a move that Cesaro does. He's Swiss.
Right.
So
it's yes.
neutral. Aha. I survived the neutralizer. I survived the swing. I am a god. He says, this is in the middle of the match. Stop talking. Stop doing this. This is my really good character. This will really draw people in. Wrestle. You used to be really good at wrestling. I was talking like last time about Billy Kay, about how much I think Billy Kay is such a great wrestler and everything other than the in-ring stuff. But everything else, she's really got down pat. For me, Seth Rollins at this point is the anti-Billy Kay, where he's great in the ring, but everything else about him, I'm just like, oh, this is excruciatingly embarrassing. In a weird way, that makes him a good opponent for Cesaro, because Cesaro we love. The angle is all about really how he's never been able to break through after a decade of being with WWE. He was famously singled out by Vince McMahon, who did a talk about people who weren't reaching for the brass ring. And he said, like Cesaro, and pretty much no one else. He just sort of went, like Cesaro. And Cesaro was really deeply hurt by it.
Yeah.
Again, when you work in his company,
good.
He is. And people like him. And it relies on Vince McMahon going, give him a shot. Cesaro can't... Take Vince McMahon hostage with a butter knife, hold it to his throat, and you go, oh, now you've got the spirit.
The kind of throat that he's got at the moment, it looks impervious to anything, to
like
be quite frank.
A couple of pink curtains that you'd have to pull to get to the epic, Adam's apple to jab at it. He is really good. What he's done so brilliantly is he's taken things like the giant swing, which is a very out of fashion, old, dated wrestling move. And he's made it into something that he really got it over.
Yeah.
He'd do that incredible sort of swing, and he'd do it with people who were huge. I think he even did it to Carly once. I mean, he really is remarkably strong. The Swiss Superman used to be one of his sort of nicknames, which doesn't really get used anymore. And they show him doing the giant swing to Seth Rollins. And again, they just do stupid stuff, like in the little video beforehand, they speed it up. Like it's a funny sort of wacky, the whole thing about it is, I think, of all wrestling moves, that's really one that you don't want to have to take. Because there is no way to stop yourself just being...
Yeah, in here, he is just absolutely decimated.
You really see, like, Seth Rollins is straight away with his hands on his head, pushing it up, sort of going, will this help? The answer is no. You are being spun round like a toddler, and you are going to be really, really ill. So it is, oddly, even though it looks comic, is more devastating than anything else you really see.
Oh, yeah, I bet, because you couldn't do, like, a top rope manoeuvre right after it, because your brain, because you will lose your balance, and wrestling, it's all about your balance.
Yeah.
In many ways, he's just being a shit, really, isn't he, Cesaro? This is my signature move. Well, I don't want to wrestle you, then.
Yeah, there's something funny about that.
I can't
that
work
thing
after this.
Of just sort of going, they're not pushing me, but I've got a move that's over and it's just gonna fuck you right up. Everyone will laugh, everyone thinks it's a funny move, but your brain's gonna really ache. You're just gonna feel nauseous for days. There's a little bit, I think it's actually in the package, where when Cesaro puts that giant swing on Seth Rollins, you hear Seth Rollins going, yeah, what are you doing? Yeah.
Yeah.
And, oh, Jesus Christ. Shut up. Shut up, man. No one counts it properly either. The fans are incapable of seeing it do a full rotation.
Yeah.
And the commentators
they get excited and they do too much. Yeah.
Yeah. But I mean, no, I'm not going to spoil their fun. You know, they're having a nice day out. He does an amazing move as well called the UFO, where he puts Seth Rollins on his shoulders and then just spins with his hands by his side.
That's insane. Because the wrestlers aren't holding on either. So he has to kind of just work with the balance of the and the weight, shifting of weight of the body as well.
Spinning hard enough that the wind is holding Seth Rollins in place. Great. It's exciting. The crowd really get into this by the end because I think they have that thing of going, are they going to let Cesaro win? And it keeps seeming like they are. And they want that to happen. And when it finally does, and he has an emphatic victory. There's no sort of, you know, messing about with that. It's just thrilling. Cesaro has a genuine emotional moment where he is just like, I think, you know, finally, after all these years, this is it. And he was right. That was it. So after that, they gave him one main event with Roman Reigns, and then he was exactly back where he'd been before.
Right.
It's so sad to see them go to the effort of giving Cesaro a match at WrestleMania where he goes over Seth Rollins and then just going, you know what we've got now? No plans.
Yeah.
Nothing at all. Mm. And again, I watched this and it's slightly like the Kofi Kingston match that he had against Daniel Bryan the previous year, which is, I watched that and I, or 2 years before, where I watched that and I just think, we got all this way. And then it just fell off the cliff and we were exactly back to where we started.
Yeah.
And it's a bittersweet thing watching it now compared to watching it on the night. On the night, you went, oh, that's exciting. Mm. Great for Cesaro. We're going to see some great matches. And watching it now, you go, oh, that was the moment where nothing changed.
Yeah.
Horrible, 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 horrible. They show a little clip of the two matches that have taken place on WrestleMania SmackDown, the Andre the Giant Battle Royale, which was won by Jey Uso.
Yes.
And the Fatal Four Way, which is the Mysterios versus the Street Profits versus the Tag Team Champions Rude and Ziggler versus American Alpha. No idea why you wouldn't put Street Profits on every big show that you do. Now I've
seen
them.
You're a big fan, yeah.
Suddenly, I mean, I'm the biggest fan. I think they are amazing. I think companies should be built around them, and I don't want to see anybody else. They cut to Ziggler and Rude doing a little promo as well here. And it just feels really dated. I mean, they are yesterday's men. I have no idea why they've got this. They're talking about the matches coming up, which is involving the New Day, and it's get the New Day. They're the most charismatic men you have in your thing.
They just look like they don't look bad. But they look like yesterday's wrestlers.
They do.
They don't look like yesterday's men. They look like yesterday's wrestlers, I would say. And they just look like men out of time.
They do. And, you know, nobody's watching that and going, well, thank God we got to see them.
Yes.
Thank God we got to see Dolph Ziggler, who we've seen since, like, 2004. And thank God we saw Robert Roode, who's been at TNA since about the same time. Just a bizarre decision not to go, let's get the tag team champions who are having the match next and they can hype their own match. Just, you know... Watching a lot of modern WWE, you realise that nobody really knows what they're doing and none of it makes sense. And it's a bit heartbreaking. That said, the next match, Raw Tag Team Champions of the New Day versus AJ Styles and Omos. I thought this was much, much better than it had any right to be. Obviously, you've got Styles and you've got the New Day. They're going to be great.
Yeah.
But Omos is the big question mark. And he's a very big question mark.
He is a huge question mark. And he is, I think Cole says 7'3".
Yeah.
Now, that doesn't actually sound like a kayfabe height for once.
No.
He is fucking massive.
He's got a unique look in that when you see him on his own,
he just
go, a man.
Yeah.
But then when you see him next to AJ Styles, you go, scaled up man. He looks normal, but then next to Styles, you go, very big man.
And I think he was wearing like a 3/4 length jacket as well.
Yeah.
Kind of, you know, which kind of was kind of played with it a little bit. And then he got in the ring. And the thing that gets me is like, whenever a big fucker gets in the ring, you see him with how big they are compared to the ropes. Now, the camera cut away from fucking him climbing over the top rope for some crappy fucking AJ Styles fireworks.
It was
stupid fucking fireworks.
Stupid.
Everyone's obsessed with pyro on this show.
Yeah, well, they're obsessed with everything that isn't like obvious wrestling decisions. They just make bad decisions. They are, Styles and Omos are a great visual combination. They really, really work. Again, you do look at this and kind of go, last year AJ Styles was wrestling The Undertaker.
Yes.
Now he's in a tag team match with a man who you've never seen wrestle before.
Yeah.
This is Omos's debut. He makes his WrestleMania debut. There will be someone else who will make a far more spectacular debut on WrestleMania coming up.
Yes, okay.
The best wrestler of 2021, who isn't even a wrestler. Just amazing. But this is his debut. They do a good bit of booking here, which is they keep Omos out of the ring.
Yes.
And so AJ Styles starts with Kofi Kingston. Again, a match that you could put on at any WrestleMania and would be brilliant. And once you sort of go, that would be a good WrestleMania match. It's kind of hard to watch this match. You get a bit annoyed about it. But they just have a really good section where Styles is continually trying to tag Omos in.
Yeah.
And the New Day are continually cutting him off. And as it goes on, because it goes for such a long time, you begin going, I don't think Omos is going to get in. But what it does is it builds the thing of going, but if he does get in, then this it's could in be big very trouble. Dangerous.
Yeah, and yeah. they're not playing Styles. They're playing the system. They're trying to keep him away from him. They're not trying to wrestle Styles. They're trying to stop him from tagging out.
And the idea is hopefully they can tire out Styles and then they'll pin him and they won't have to deal with Omos. Omos does something which a lot of giants don't do, which is he's good at the facial work.
Yes.
And he looks genuinely angry throughout the whole thing. And he's annoyed and irked that they're doing this. And again, when you get people who are 7'3", they often sort of go, but I am giant. I don't need to do anymore.
Yeah.
And Omos, I was really like, this guy gets it. this guy knows what it's about. There's a lovely bit where Kofi Kingston does a sort of top rope splash. He does a splash off the top rope onto AJ Styles' back.
Mm.
And by this point, he's having fun, Kofi. And it's like backyard wrestling, where he makes no attempt to protect AJ Styles or do anything but just go, I'm going to crash into him. And he really goes splatter. I think obviously they're sort of like, we might as well have fun before it stops.
which
it does.
And they're like, they just berate the commentary team, because there's a lot of that, and it's kind of the holdover, it seems, from the behind closed doors stuff, when you had to kind of work the commentary team and use them as almost an avatar for the crowd a little bit.
I think Sasha Banks does that in the main event as well, where she just runs over to them, and you've done it for a year, and I suppose it's a bit like muscle memory.
Yes.
But it is funny to sort of constantly be, you know, here's the commentary team, so I have to direct it all to them. In comes Omos, finally. Styles gets there. And the crowd are really like, oh, this is good.
Yes.
And that is a great bit of simple, clever, straightforward wrestling booking. You know, you've held it off. Are you going to see him? Are you going to see him? Here he is. You know, just it works perfectly. In he comes. He does a backbreaker on Xavier Woods. I got someone that did actually contact me on Twitter the other day and said, is it an in-joke, like on WrestleMe, that you always get people's names wrong?
Right.
You pronounce them wrongly.
Right.
So like Pat McAfee, I call Pat McAfee. And things like that. No, the answer is I read about them more than I hear the names.
Yes.
And I don't know how to pronounce
them. How do you say McAfee then?
Pat McAfee.
McAfee.
Yeah.
McAfee. I'm trying to think how I say the virus killer. The
John McAfee.
John McAfee.
I can't remember which way it is around now.
Which it is.
But someone did say, it's like you always say, like instead of Xavier Woods,
right.
I say Xavier Woods.
Xavier Woods.
And I was thinking, where's that
how
from?
How would you say Xavier?
Xavier Woods.
Xavier.
Yeah. And I say it because the first time I heard the name Xavier was in the Pet Shop Boys song, where it goes, Xavier Cougat. No, Joe Lataxi, Vanessa Paradis, is Xavier Cougat. And so whenever I see it, I'm just like, Xavier, that's the way it is. But it's Xavier.
And Javi, the Spanish footballers and football managers.
Language is fluid, guys. It is. As long as you know
enjoy
what I'm talking about.
Exactly. You might have heard it wrong. Yeah.
Yes. You might say Coffee Kingston.
Yes.
You know,
it would be wrong also.
I mean, it also weird tinge of, you know, I don't know. I'm not comfortable with that one. At least mine aren't questionable.
More of that later.
Bad.
More of that on day two.
Yeah. Out comes Omos, does a backbreaker on Xavier Woods. Then he does one on Kofi.
Snaps in him half. And there's a lot of that I sort of go, is that looked painful.
Yeah.
That looked...
His finishing move, he does a tree slam, which is the move that Great Khali did on a guy called Brian Ong, which ended Brian Ong's life.
Right.
It is a move that giants do, so you get them up and then you slam them down. And you can see why it's not a very safe move, even on this bit. So when Omos does it, there is no way for Kofi Kingston to protect the back of his head.
Yes.
And he really does rock it off the floor. It's like falling down, not a whole flight of stairs, but like...
One big stair.
If you were in like a hotel and it had like sweeping like staircases, you know, you get one that's got about five stairs off the bottom. If you stack it down that, you're still going to fucking hurt your elbows.
And it'll usually be marble or concrete.
Bang, absolutely. And you'll be, you know, there'll be one of those stair runners there as well, where you'll have made it down and you'll have gone, I think I'm all right. And then you get up and everyone starts screaming because your head's just cut open. Oh, it's a bit like that here.
Yeah.
They win the Raw Tag Team Champions, Omos and AJ Styles. Mm. And there's a nice bit where Omos puts AJ Styles on his shoulders. AJ looks like a spoilt kid.
And his face is so squishy anyway.
Yeah.
So I go, oh.
It's sort of like it's his bar mitzvah and he's been given a WrestleMania like match a big giant.
Yes,
and he's really like, yeah.
Well, they did the move off Omos, didn't they?
He jumps off his shoulders. Yeah. Almost like a sort of a classic... I was about to say it's like a Midnight Express rocket launcher, but it's not. It's entirely
It's different. Really not.
Yeah, it's really not.
I wouldn't have known.
If you're looking for plump lips that last, you need to know about Juvederm lip fillers. With Juvederm Volbella XC and Juvederm Ultra XC, your lip look, whether it's subtle or bold, can last up to one full year with optimal treatment and no additional maintenance. Find a licensed specialist and see if it's right for you at Juvederm.com today. That's Juvederm.com. Add fullness to lips in adults over 21 with Juvederm Volbella XC or Juvederm Ultra XC. Do not use if you have severe allergies or a history of severe allergic reactions, or if you're allergic to lidocaine or the proteins used in Juvederm. Tell your doctor if you have a history of scarring or taking medicines that decrease the body's immune response or that can prolong bleeding. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. As with all fillers, there's a rare risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. For full, important safety information, visit Juvederm.com.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedy ad free. That's amazon.com/comedy ad free to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hello, I'm Hazel Hayes.
And I'm Shane Todd.
And welcome to our brand new podcast, We're Not Fucking Historians. It sounds like I'm saying we're not fucking historians.
Yeah, we're saying we're not experts.
We're not historians ourselves. Not that we're not having sex with historians.
No historians getting fucked on this pod.
Zero historians getting fucked on this podcast. We are, in fact, your alternative guide to Irish history.
Every week we prize open the history books and find a new tale from the Emerald Isle's colourful past. We're exploring Ireland's traditions, its rich heritage, and its long, proud history of being invaded by literally anyone with a boat. The Vikings were showing up at the monastery going, where's that booty?
The earliest booty call.
It's the booty call you didn't want. 50 Scandinavian Vikings showed up.
Or our biggest celeb, St. Paddy. He says he prayed up to 100 times a day and sometimes during the night.
That's what a 5-year-old would say. I prayed 100 times, I swear. Patrick also said he was fastest in his slippers. He's a fucking Billy Bullshitter.
If, like us, you're the kind of person who's interested in history, but not so interested that you'd go read a book about it or listen to actual experts, then this is the show for you.
This is history done differently, with a couple of facts and plenty of crack.
So, join us on our journey through Ireland's past.
Search We're Not Fucking Historians on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
And remember,
we're not fucking historians. Sorry, I was far too fast there.
We're Not Fucking Historians is a Stack production and part of the Acast Creator Network.
Let's get this one out the way. It's the fifth match. It's Braun Strowman versus Shane McMahon in a steel cage match.
Mark, you will not believe it, mate. There's two grown men arguing about who's the stupidest. Like, or a man is being bullied for being stupid.
I know.
In 2021. Like, that's it. And one of them gets slimed.
Imagine if you got a job at WWE.
Yes.
And they said, come in. And they said, we're going to give you Braun Strowman, one of the big names. He's been doing a lot of title matches all through the year, main events. And Shane McMahon.
Who you can do anything to.
Yeah, you got WrestleMania.
Yeah, you got WrestleMania.
What are you going to do?
He wants his WrestleMania moment. He wants to hurt himself again as a 55-year-old man.
Yeah.
you can do what you want. And it's, I think it should be all built around a rich man saying that a younger man, a bigger man, is stupid.
Yeah.
Get out. You clear your desk.
You don't need to be here anymore. We listened to the podcast. We thought you might have learned some stuff along the way.
I know it's your bar mitzvah.
It was. I mean, just Jesus. I mean, stupid. They bring out Jerry Lawler to do the commentary on this one as well.
Who's been posting some astonishing bed pictures.
Do you know what? If you look at his Twitter, I've become really obsessed with it. Once you notice it, you'll love it.
Yeah.
He's alone all the time.
Oh,
all the time alone. Jerry. And there's pictures of him in like casinos that are empty. And he's just at a fruit machine. And he's obviously got like a waiter to take a picture of him. And he's like, hey.
Fruity.
And he'll be like, who wishes they were down here with me? And, you know, I mean, I'm...
DM me. They are open.
Imagine if anyone goes, I do. He's like, I'll pay for a cab. You can come down. There's pictures he's done just in his house where he's like, you know, watching the football. And he's just sitting on his sofa and there's no one around. It's so heartbreaking. He actually did a little interview today where he hasn't really done any commentary for WWE for quite some time.
Mm. Obviously, still on the books, though, inexplicably compared to everyone else who lost their job.
Yeah.
He was working.
He has obviously flown in for this, and it's been a pandemic, and he's had heart issues before, and he's an older gentleman. I think there's a sense of going, we have to slightly protect him. They bring him in here, obviously, it's WrestleMania. Mm. But he did do a strange thing where Kieran Agami, he's from the 80s. This is why I'm criticising a commentator and getting it wrong. Tozawa, who is a cruiserweight. Mm. He made some, they were like, he was doing a match that Tozawa was in, and they sort of say something like, you know, oh, what was that move? And Jerry Lawler basically sort of went, oh, it's the ramen surprise.
Right.
And people were a bit like, what the fuck? You know, what the fuck is that? And he basically says, I think because of that, they're not using me anymore.
Right.
You know. I mean, I would be worrying.
Worse.
I would be worrying that Dark Side of the Ring have got through what, four seasons now, and sooner or later they're going to go, well, probably time to do the Jerry Lawler one. And I think you want to be well away from it. But
there's your ramen surprise.
He comes back here. He is armed with his joke book from 1953, and it doesn't help lift this match in any way. I can't tell you, Pete, how little I was looking forward to seeing this match.
I like it when McBahn does his stupid punching.
Yes.
I like a coast-to-coast with the bin.
Yes.
But he didn't have a bin this time.
No bin.
And that was rubbish.
Someone's a bit stupid, aren't they? Didn't bring their bin. The other thing about steel cage matches is you know that you're in for at least 15 minutes.
Yes.
Because
it takes a while to,
set up.
Yeah, you're not going to have a five-minute.
No, you've got to make the most of it. You know, so the problem with this as well is the stupidity of the booking, which is Braun Strowman is always portrayed as a monster.
Mm.
He is a huge, frightening monster. And what they do here is they give Shane McMahon, they go out there, 50-50. You're as strong. You're as good at wrestling.
Yeah.
You're not scared of him in any way.
No.
You don't spend the time trying to run away, and that's why you're in a cage. You just go
you
out
go
there
and
batter him.
You go and try and punch him, yeah.
You're as good. You're as strong. You're as violent. You're as good at wrestling. And, you know, you're as brave.
Yeah.
You fucking idiot. When Vince McMahon did a series of, you know, a classic cage match with Stone Cold Steve Austin at St. Valentine's Day Massacre 1999.
Right.
They had Vince go in there, and Vince did his character, which was he spent the entire time cheating, running away, being beaten up.
Yeah.
He was knocked black and blue, bloodied up. Austin looked stronger.
Yeah.
And eventually, in that match...
The police got involved.
Vince McMahon, his cheating backfires and Austin wins.
Yeah.
So, you know, everything is good there.
Mm.
In this, you just go, you know, you should make him a coward. He's a rich boy. He's got you know, you can make him desperate. He has two blokes, Elias and Jackson Riker, attack Braun Strowman beforehand.
Yeah.
There is, you know, why is then he just like, oh, I'm as good as you now.
Mm.
We'll just do this. We've been totally on the level.
And the worst big thing is about, I swear, Strowman jars his knee a bit when he gets off the cage.
Uh-huh.
When he's thrown the inevitable, you know, what do you call it? A stunt. What do you call it? Like the spot. The inevitable spot where McMahon damages his fucking hip or whatever. He's thrown off something. He comes down and he only jumps like off the second turnbuckle, like height wise. And his knee goes, and just a little twist. He goes,
That's in Hell in the Cell 98 when Undertaker drops down from the cell. He breaks his ankle doing that. And that's
that
one
was less
things,
convincing than this one.
You can't then sort of come back and go, oh, guys, I really hurt myself. They're like, Mick Foley is a fucking pancake. you know. Yeah, but I hurt my foot.
Oh, I got a pin in it. Mick.
What the fuck is Braun Strowman? And he's there and he's got his camo pants on. And I don't know what his gimmick is. I don't know why he's supposed to be a good guy.
He's been made in a military lab or something. And he got to wear the cargo pants.
You can have your job at WWE back. Because you come up with something that makes more sense. They could just paint him red and never reference it.
Red boy.
And it would mean as much, you know. You know,
Strowman, you're Strowman. He's got diabetes. What?
He's a massive sentient BlackBerry. Yeah. Is he? Strange. I just don't get it. Shane at one point slips on the wet ropes as well. I was like, oh, wet ropes.
Ooh.
That's a good title for an album, isn't it?
Wet ropes.
Wet ropes by Wet Ropes. There is a band called Wet Leg.
I like that.
It's nice. Wet is good. Wet Baby presents Wet Ropes.
Yes.
And that is I'll just a Brock Lesnar match. There's a bit where Shane McMahon pulls off a piece of metal off the top of the cage and he just begins banging it on his head. Yeah. And this is a classic bit of a modern phenomenon that has been really, really ruining WWE television, which is they continually cut to different angles to emphasize the smacking.
Yeah.
And on this one, once you see it, Pete, it's madness. They keep cutting to shots, and the cameramen have been told, zoom in as the contact is made, and then zoom out.
Yeah.
And then we'll cut to another one.
Yeah.
So it's continually. The cameramen are also, they're not going zoom in, zoom out. They're lifting and dipping as they zoom in and out. When you notice it, you just go, this is not up, this is no good. This is, if you got that and it was like your wedding, you'd be like, this is all fucked up.
We should have got a backup.
Yeah.
Terrible.
If I buy WWE one day, the first thing I will do is I will go,
wipe these cuts and just give us the CCTV from the stadium.
I will say, give me the hard camera. That is it. All right. We're going to take out all of this shit and we're going to do it from every match from 2010 through to 2021.
But it basically says that this is pre-organized. Yeah. Like nothing crazy is happening here because you've got five or six cameras zooming in and zooming out knowing exactly what they're supposed to be fucking doing.
The weirdest thing about it is it takes away the natural ebb and flow of a wrestling match when you watch it. It takes away the impact because it feels like the camera is doing all the work. It's a little bit like Looney Tunes where it goes boing, you know, smash, crash. It's really, really annoying, and you really see it in this match because I think you stop watching anyway because it's you know, you're looking for something to get you through this awful bloody match. Awful stuff. It's a bit like having, like, what I imagine it must be like to have really, really pronounced ADHD where you're just, your eyes are just going this up, down, in, out, just mental. As you say, Braun throws him off the top of the cage into the ring. And then Braun does a power slam and pins him. Again, I call me old-fashioned, Pete. I don't want to see a pinfall in a cage match.
No.
You know?
No.
I want to see them go over the top or go out the door. Because that's what you do
in
cage matches.
That's what the cage is for.
Exactly. Yes. Otherwise, you could win this with a roll-up in the first minute. That would be great. Right. Take it all down. Done. Nothing is solved. Braun Strowman will be fired a couple of months later in a big surprise, but not for me, an unwelcome one. I do not see his appeal, and having done all of these shows that we've done that he's been on, I have yet to find something where I go, I understand what he is, I connect with him in any way, or I enjoy what he does.
He's somewhere else now. Have you enjoyed him over at AEW?
No, he's not in AEW. No. So
is he still waiting out, isn't he?
He's slightly sort of like floating about at the minute. There's every chance he might end up in Impact. He was a big name star.
Yeah.
The problem is he seems a little bit limited. There is a parallel for me with The Big Show. The Big Show was a true giant, which Strowman is a very big man. But The Big Show was a proper giant. He'd also come from WCW where he'd have matches with Hogan. He was a big star. And he was there in the Attitude Era, which gave him a huge rub. Yeah. I think Strowman has come along at a point where giants are slightly passe.
Yeah.
And
he's not quite big enough.
Not quite big enough. And also, again, what is he? What is he? Yeah. Why am I supposed to like him? He's horrible.
Yeah.
It's just a horrible big thing. More surprisingly, this was Shane McMahon's last WWE appearance. Obviously, he tends to do sort of one match a year or a couple of matches a year. But it's believed his talent contract with WWE has expired.
Right.
This has happened once before in 2009.
You should get someone on the inside.
Yeah. But what it suggests again to me, Pete, is there is a slight thing about once Shane was being groomed to be the guy who took over WWE, he then decided to leave because he wanted to prove himself in business.
Yeah.
If you're a McMahon, you're desperate to make show your dad you can make it.
Yes.
Just take the easy fucking loop.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
Just hang around and go, Dad, you're great.
And then it got, but then it got given to Triple H.
Stephanie and
then,
Triple H.
Yeah.
And of course, it's now been taken away from Triple H.
Yes.
So he, his run on NXT, he's been moved off that. He's had a heart attack. Mm. And what it suggests when you see things like, apparently this time it's on fine terms. He doesn't have an issue with Vince McMahon. There's no sort of schism. Mm. It may be it's just come to an end.
Mm.
And when they want him back, they'll do another one.
Yeah.
But what it does suggest is it does talk about all the people who even 3 years ago looked like they were the people who were going to be taking WWE into the next generation when Vince McMahon steps down or is no longer there.
Mm.
It looks like all of those people have been sidelined.
Yeah.
And that does still suggest that they're possibly the new plan is, you know, we could sell this, you know. And would that be a bad thing? You know what? You see like AEW, a company run by fresh people using the wrestlers and saying to the wrestlers, what would you do if you were doing this? And that company fucking works.
Yeah.
And who knows? Maybe this would be great. Maybe if this ends up on Disney Plus, maybe the people who Disney will go in the same way as they did with Star Wars. Take it away from the crazy old man who
yes,
came up with it.
Exactly.
And make it good, you know? it could be a dream. They have the very disappointing Hall of Fame 2020 ceremony, which is, takes place in front of all those video screens.
Yes.
JBL is put in. He calls everyone snowflakes.
Yeah, classic.
And they pipe in. The crowd chanting his catchphrase where he goes, because I am. And even though I was going, I have no idea what this catchphrase
is. Yeah, I didn't. I'd not really heard that.
A wrestling god, he says. Very much from his WWE run as champion between about 2004 and 5.
Okay, yeah, oh, yeah. I mean,
you know, you're not supposed to necessarily remember it, but they definitely pipe that in.
Yeah.
There is no way
anybody remembers
that. The thing is, everyone's on those screens, and I'm not sure those screens emit noise. Because if they did, there'd be loads of people just going, I'm watching WWE, I'm on! So there's no way that there's sound coming through those screens.
No.
Except when he
There'll
goes,
a cacophony.
A wrestling, and everyone joins in, a wrestling god. And that's not right. they don't have sound.
No.
Jushin Liger is put in.
He's a wonderfully old man.
He with his sounds so old, doesn't he? Because he always wore a mask, Liger has never really aged.
Yes.
To most people. And his body shape has stayed largely the same, even though he's changed his style, once very high flying, then far more sort of, you know, mat based and technical. There's a great story about someone in a British wrestling promotion who came backstage, and they were just like, you know, everyone was back there, and they were just like, who's the really old Japanese guy
man.
Just sitting in the corner? They were like, where, you know, what's his deal? Like that. And it's only when Jushin Liger came out, the guy was like, that's Jushin Liger. He looks, I mean, he's in his 60s. It's just a remarkable thing. But
well,
his voice sounded old.
Yeah, he was still doing stuff until like last year, wasn't he? Still kind of like doing odds and sods.
Had his retirement. And
he never retire as a wrestler.
Lucky enough to see him performing like Walthamstow and in London. And
yeah.
He is one of those guys who, from the moment that he debuted in The Mask, I think in 89. He was a huge, huge international star. And to see him, you know, never really have a dip in that period. One of the iconic performers of professional wrestling. And, I mean, just what a hero. Nice that the WWE include people like Jushin Liger. He had one match at an NXT takeover where he took on Tyler Breeze. They just sort of brought him in as a fun thing. Mm. But to put him in the Hall of Fame, it is their thing about this is a World Wrestling Federation. You know, we are the custodians of world history. And I do like that. I think that's you know, I mean, the very fact that he would find it very odd that he was in with William Shatner and the Bellas. but, you know, you've got to do something. William Shatner in his home office talking about how much he was grateful. He's done some stuff over the years at Raw and things like that.
Right.
And,
what was his kind of involvement with wrestling? Kind of just doing
there were periods where they'd have celebrity hosts of Raw or he'd come and
like
do
it was
a section
SNL.
With, yeah.
Like when they try to be SNL.
When they sort of go, we are pop culture and mainstream entertainment.
Yeah.
So you get William Shatner come in and he'll do something with Jerry Lawler, that sort of thing. I think sometimes they do that with the people who were positive about it afterwards.
Yes.
They're like, well, you're one of the family, which is a strange thing. There are many, many more celebrities like who have had more of a connection with wrestling than William Shatner.
Yeah, but, and have walked away and sort of went, it's my kids. They wanted it.
They wanted the free tickets. Yeah. And we did it. I didn't like it. I didn't like it at all.
It was this old Japanese man in the dressing room.
The Bellas come out, and the crowd that we've established cannot speak began chanting, "One more match." If you're going to lie about what a crowd are chanting, don't think they're going to chant that at the Bellas.
So "one more match" is the thing that they shout.
At Sting.
Yeah.
At huge stars.
Not the Bellas.
Yeah, they chant it at Austin, you know. And Brie Bella. It's a funny one as well, because, I mean, I don't think there's anyone who has ever watched all the Bellas matches that you could see on the network. You go through all the old Raws and Smackdowns. Mm. There are hundreds of them.
Yeah.
Why would you want one more?
Yeah,
you
exactly.
You don't need one more. You know?
There'll be so many you haven't seen.
Exactly. And, you know, look, why do you think the last one is suddenly going to get much better than the other ones? I like the Bellas. I think they're funny, and I've actually, Nikki, some of her later matches, she's great.
Yeah.
She's really violent and aggressive. and I'm as a bigger fan of the Bellas as anyone can be and still sort of like be into wrestling as a whole.
Yes, correct.
I don't look at it and kind of go, you know, they're the best. But I don't look at it and go, they're worthless.
They're part of it.
And I would not be chanting "one more match." No one would be. The Bulldog, British Bulldog, he gets inducted by his son Harry and his daughter Georgia, plus his wife Diana, who she wrote a very, very warts and all book about being married to the Bulldog.
Yes.
Alleged some really stomach-churning things. Glad to see that, you know, she's able to accept that whole package, you know. It's but that book it's not easy to get, but it is it changes your opinion on that guy,
right?
I tell you,
okay.
You know, everyone's like, "Oh, Dynamite Kid was the horrible one." I mean, they weren't both on that fucking level. And then the Warrior Award goes to Titus O'Neil. Thanks very much as well. I forgot to write the name down, but someone did mention we talked about Titus O'Neil's Joker suit where he was in blue and orange.
Yes.
Last time. And though I was like, you know, that is, if you wore that, you know, people would just go space pimp. And Titus O'Neil, it's actually the colours of the University of Florida, where he was a football player. So he's in Florida.
We're not, I mean, and then they dress as like pirates.
Yeah.
Later on, everyone dresses as a pirate. Yeah. And it's like, fine, it fits this time, because it's a Tampa Bay Buccaneers or something.
That's right, yeah.
But last time it didn't make any sense. Just tell us. Because
tell us.
It's not just, people talk about hometowns and football teams, and they talk about sporting achievements that the rest of the world just don't have. Yeah, we don't have a college
look, football I don't walk
system.
Around and go, oh, a bit annoyed you didn't notice I was wearing the colours of Leeds University. You know, I wouldn't know what colours they were, you know.
Because the only people who did wear them were either on the sports teams or they're the nerds who used to buy the t-shirts and the little cagoules and stuff.
I don't understand why Americans are so into university and college.
Yes.
In a way that here, as you say, you're just like, you know, imagine being really into your university.
You know, yeah, you'd be like,
what are you talking about?
Weirdo. Go home.
Founded in 1834. What? Why is everyone pleased about that?
Yeah.
Look, that is the Hall of Fame ceremony. We have the last people who come out, of course, are the NWO.
Yes.
Hogan, Hall, Nash, and Six. They are using the name that X-Pac used when he first went to the NWO.
Right.
It was a confusing thing where he'd been X-Pac in WWE. Mm. When he moved to WCW, they began calling him Six-Pac.
Right.
And then WWE said that you can't use that. That is too
close. That is too close.
So they were like, well, he's called Six.
Right.
And it was like, okay, now it doesn't really have any correlation with what he was before.
Yeah.
He was X-Pac and now he's Six.
Yeah. And I don't know any. There was a Six in Blossom. Remember Blossom?
I her am friend, number Six.
Her friend was called Six.
Was he? Yeah. I hated Blossom.
Six was very pretty.
Was she?
Yeah.
Oh, she
and
was.
So was Joy Russo.
More than a Six. not her deeper before you fed fucking. Sorry. I've no idea why they didn't just say X-Pac on your own, you go in. I mean, he's not a big enough star. The big star of this year should have been Dave Bautista.
Yes.
But Bautista went, I'm not coming for a half-filled stadium and a no ceremony.
Right, okay.
So he was like, we can do it another year.
Oh, okay, so he might come back next year.
Yeah, so he's going to come back when there's a proper crowd.
I like that he's kind of like, he's always treated as a bit of an outsider because he's got a bit of self-respect.
I know.
And he knows his worth.
And whenever he tried to come back over the last 5 years, it always goes a little bit wrong.
Yeah.
And he must just sit there constantly just going, it's happened again. Why can't I catch a fucking break with this with these people? X-Pac is really, really good in this because unlike everybody else who is Hogan and Hall is, you know, quite sort of... slouchy and he sort of shuffles. Mm. I think he then had a hip replacement. So he looks a little bit, if you didn't know better, it looks like he's a bit wasted. Yeah. And he isn't wasted.
No.
You know, that was very much the old Scott Hall. But they all come out and they're all just having fun with each other. And they're like, hey, and X-Pac is walking around the front, waving at everybody in the thing, just like, you know, hello, everyone, hello.
And this is the best it's going to get for me.
Yeah. I looked at X-Pac and I thought, oh, I love you, man. Yeah. I think you're really good. X-Pac news, everyone's waiting for it. He's been out for many, many years because he got hepatitis. And so he's sort of like, well, I can't wrestle anymore. Mm. He's taken a huge amount of sort of medication that actually gets suppresses rid of hepatitis. They're mad things where like one pill costs something like 10 grand.
Right.
And you need six of them.
Yeah.
And he has now been given a clean bill of health. And he said, I am going to try and have a little bit of a comeback.
Oh, cool.
So let's just flag it up there. Raw Rumble 2022.
Yeah.
Or
don't let him lead.
Or AEW at any point. Yeah. You just go in there and have some fun. Finally, for this show, we get Stone Cold advertising Texas.
It's next year's WrestleMania.
Yep, WrestleMania 38 at AT&T Stadium.
It's him just talking about Austin, Texas. Yeah.
Generically. Yes. It's a good city. It's a big city. It's cars.
This could be any of them. Men. Not including San Antonio.
Yeah, women, children. The sun comes up, the sun goes down.
Airport, you sometimes see a guy in a hat.
You can go to a bar, you can get a drink, you can go to a cafe, you can get a sandwich. it really has it
ATMs,
all.
We got them.
I got a lake, there's a river, there's a canal, there's boats.
Wait a minute, is there boats? Ah, oh, I've gone too far.
I thought there was a marina.
Fuck it.
April 2022, Peter, get that diary
get
out.
Get that diary out. That's not a diary, that's a mouse. I swear I've only had half a shot of liquor.
I'm a bit annoyed because the last time I went to a WrestleMania, the only WrestleMania I've been to, that was also in Dallas, Texas. And I'm a bit like, well, I've been there now. I really wanted this one to be in LA.
Yeah, but Austin's better, though, isn't it? Austin's better than Dallas.
Is it in Austin?
I thought it was Austin. I thought he was talking about Austin, wasn't he?
His name's Steve Austin.
Oh, sorry, that's probably quite confusing.
I'm Steve Austin, but Dallas.
Oh.
No, I don't know.
No, I mean, it's better for people who like stuff. Like, Dallas is better for me.
Yeah.
Because I like girls in cowboy boots.
Yes.
And sipping whiskey. And falling down, nobody giving a hill.
And grits.
And grits.
And guns. Yes, sir.
I want people, men and women... The security staff of 7-Eleven to have a gun.
Yes, that's completely.
And to me, to point out that gun and go, sorry, you've got a gun. They go, welcome to Texas, son.
Yeah.
And I go, give me it! And I grab it and I'm shooting everyone.
I want men to look like men and women to look like women, goddammit.
That's all I want.
That's all I want. And I also want to see an excellent main event. So
you'll see one of those things.
That is it for the penultimate WrestleMania 37 Night 1.
Yes.
We're going to be back. We're going to be talking about, two matches that are absolutely sodding great.
Yeah.
That, take it to the bank. Wrestle me, Peter.
Bye. Oh, God. We shouldn't do this so late.
Wrestle Me is a Stack production and part of the Acast Creator Network.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over 3 glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that? I can't even remember. Yeah,
you do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
Actually, I got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would think of that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. I know my way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.